order for Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Please set your phones on stun, Mr. Wicklund. Okay. And let's stand for that Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Call roll, please.
Here.
Present.
Anthony
Blodgett.
Present.
Here.
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 Ron Baer.
Here.
Robert Oche. Absent.
Levon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baser.
Present. All right, moving right along. Next up is the approval of minutes for March 16, 2022. I'm sure you've all read them, dissected them. Is there any modifications, changes, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for March 16th of 2022.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All right, we're back to roll call votes on everything. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Tom Gottschalk.
Abstain.
Anthony Brunick.
Abstain.
Sarah Leavitt.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Next up is Chairman's Report. I'm honored to be the Chairman. Look forward to moving this project forward under the premise that this is a $275 million man-made flood control project. And if you don't do a maintenance project, pictures from 2008 show you what happens if you do not take care of something of this magnitude. Again, this is some project that's based upon dealing with Mother Nature. Good luck. You get 10 gallons of water for a 5-gallon bucket. We're going to be hanging out. But one of the things we are better prepared for now than we were prior to 2008 is the communities on the same page as far as what needs to happen and where we need to go with the resources that are available. Looking forward to continue that and also take it across the entire watershed so we look to make the infrastructure for the community that much better. That is making this an economic development project, bar none. But for me, next up is the finance report. We need approval of the claims from April 2022. We need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the claims for April 2022 in the amount of $312,920.21.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second discussion. Anything, Mr. Repe?
We'll go through some of them. Microbank, which is a small one, which is our annual testing or monthly testing for the natural spring. Spulwicki and Lopez, which is the engineering. We did the as-built for the Burr Street. That is now closed, so that project is complete at this point as far as making sure that closure no longer has to be worked anymore. Burke Engineering for the levee rehab and interior drainage, that's going along, still projected to go for the summer to bid. First response maintenance, they're responsible for not only doing our sluice gates, but they did some cleanup work for us. The backup needs to be a little bit more beefier, and we will address that with them for $13,335.12. Great Lake Electrical Maintenance, which is in charge of our pump stations for all of the Gary pump stations. That was for the month of March 2022. And then our typical NIPSCO bills, and then the reimbursement to the town of Winfield for $204,000, which was an agreement, interlocal agreement with them for the street project, 109th Street Culvert upgrade. That closed out their portion of the reimbursement for Winfield.
You said that closes out that project?
For our portion of it, they still have things to do, but as far as our reimbursement of the $204,000, that closes them out.
Stay on the $204,000. Have they been supplying the office with the primary backup and the plans as far as what they're doing with that project?
They did, and that should be a part of the claims, on the backup of the claims. As far as what they put in, the culverts, the size, and what the makeup is. So, I mean, there's more to that project than just the culvert. Our portion was just the culvert portion installation.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Reap about the bills? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Schulze.
Yes.
Tom Vazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, ma'am. Moving right along, next up, having to do with Project Tracker, rolling it into the executive director's report that she missed a repay.
So since we have a pretty full agenda, I'll try to just cut to the main parts of the last month's activities. And so I'm going to start with our inspections. And look at that. I got on the first try.
Golf clap.
Yeah, thank you. So last week, we did our inspections beginning in Munster on Monday. Hammond was Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday was Highland. I have a few pictures, not many, of the issues that we will have to address here this summer.
And these are inspections just for everybody in the record for what?
For the inspections, so that we make sure that our levy stays in order and in good active position. There was a little bit more of a thorough inspection for Hammond, because that's just every so many years they do a more thorough as opposed to just a regular inspection. You couldn't tell the difference. They still go to every pump station to make sure the pump stations are working. They go to every gate to make sure the gates are working and make sure there's no really big issues with the levee itself. And so for the most part, everything worked. One gate in Highland did not work. It is one of the gates that we have addressed under United Consulting Engineers to correct, because it's a gate that is unlike any other in our system, which is one that doesn't have a freestanding ability to open and close. You have to, you're down on your knees, you're trying to drive a drill into it, and it has caused us problems in the past, but this year again, it caused us another issue. But some of these pictures I'll try to explain. The biggest issue here is the animal burrowing along the levee. This is just one of many pictures I could have taken. Muskrats, moles. So what we're gonna need to do is find a company to fill these in, potentially trap some of them, relocate some of them. They're not causing, these walls are driven down 30 plus feet in most areas, but over time, you just don't want to have these. You have some, if you have some collapses, then the whole wall gets exposed. And I can show you that there's our problem person there. So this guy was located off of, that's a muskrat, I believe, from all intents and history. So he ends up digging and burrowing down. And then ultimately when the water goes up, his little situation caves in and then starts causing deterioration in the levee. This area is right off the Bering Street pump, which is located just to the east of Northcott. What you'll see, if you can see the riprap over there on the right-hand side, that's right where that control structure is. Unfortunately, the Bering Street pump, of course, during high water levels, shoots the water across and erodes the opposite side, which is the Hammond side of the levee. You can see there's Cabela's in the background. So what we're going to need to do is hard armor that segment so that it keeps on not deteriorating. Now, under high water conditions, you probably couldn't see this. We were very fortunate when we did this inspection. You can see the exposed area more clearly. Another area that we'll address is the transition areas. This is the area where we go from earthen levee to the sheet pile wall. You can see the sheet pile there a little bit with the cap on top. The earthen levee has settled and gone down a bit. So we need to build that transition up, not only for predator protection, but also to help us with the maintenance. We've seen a lot more of this year than in previous years, and this is probably the most it's settled. Stage 7 was particularly identified as an area of trouble. These are the joints. The picture can only do so much, but if you really touch that, it would really fall apart. And in stage 7, unlike stage 8, the cap on top of the wall in stage 7 is a part of the flood protection, whereas in stage 8, it is considered a part of the freeboard, which is not necessarily a part of the protection. So the stage 7 joint failing, and I call it failing, but erosion is more critical. So we've done these in other places, in Gary and in Highland. We didn't anticipate stage 7 to fail this way, since it's 8 years only with the joints. So we are going to do that this summer and take care of stage 7, which will just continue on from our 5-2 experiment.
Is that through our contracting or through the Corps?
The original one?
They're doing this. Repairs through us.
So repairs will all be through us.
Are you doing the entire road all through stage 7?
We're doing all stage 7. So stage 7, for everyone out there that doesn't know, is from Northcott in Hammond/Munster all the way to Columbia Ave. This is even a particular more difficult stage 7 is because there is no really access point in and out of that. It is totally enclosed stage, where other areas we can get in to using equipment. This is wall to wall. There's a wall that runs from Northcott all the way to Columbia on both sides, Hammond and Munster. So this is probably one of the more critical ones, one that you'll see next month.
When was that completed then?
We thought it was 2013-14. We don't know when the exact turnover was, but that was about what it was. It wasn't something that we, you know, there are joints in Gary that are not in this type of condition.
Okay.
That are older. So
can they, that's the caulk that's failed?
Yes.
Or so we take it out and test it.
We could. I mean, you could test it, but we're gonna need to come up with an alternative solution, because every 7 years doing that is probably not gonna be very productive.
No.
Once again, this is another settlement situation. You see the brackets there holding up the decorative wall. There is still sheet pile behind that wall, so it's not that that's not direct exposure to the river, but it's something that you don't want to have exposed. Once again, still going with the issue of a landscaper or someone with a truck to just fill that in to make sure that it's beefed up so you don't see those brackets. And that's part of the problem. This is on the Hammond side, more by the industrial park. We believe it may have been somewhat due to when the young man went missing over there. There was a lot of vehicles up on top. This is an area that we do not have vehicles up. That's why it's not paved. It's a very remote area, and we didn't want vehicles up there. But it seems as though during that time, there may have been some more vehicles that we wanted, and over the winter it sort of softened it up. But once again, we just need to fill that in, plant seed on it, and we should be in good shape. This is the first time this ever has sort of reared its head. We're going to get draft copies of all the inspections that we did next week. You guys will be able to see them, but I did want to show you just a sampling of what is out there and what we saw last week. That is it. I don't want to go to that one yet, because that's for the next presentation.
I'm sorry, too far. Quick question on was a Bering Street pump.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah, on the Bering Street pump. Is that a variable speed pump? I was expecting Levon to jump all over this one. You said the pump was shooting out water and it's actually eroding the other side.
That's correct.
Of the bank. I mean, that's a lot of force. Can we throttle the pump down?
That drains all of the Wicker Park Estates subdivision.
So it's either on or off, and when it's on, it's
on. Then,
okay. Just assume there was a constant speed when it's on, it's on. It's on. Yeah.
It's just a lot of water, and I will tell you, during a high flow condition, you can hear it pump, but you can't see it visibly above ground, but there has to be something going on for it to constantly erode, and it's too far away from the diverter structure to cause, with the vortexes coming out, to cause erosion. So what they suggested was, before it eats away at that toe anymore, you want to go back on that picture?
Oh, like, just get an air with it.
Okay. Now you're asking for a bunch.
Oh, keep talking.
and then it requires more stuff too. So that's why they wanna look at it and
on the other side.
Yeah, I'm gonna share it right here.
Rip rap.
Mm-hmm. So if I do it here,
is that going to be a whole new engineering thing? Because there's all kind of debris you can see on the west side of that bridge. I mean, it's, you know, dropping debris all over the place.
So this is the pump station here. For those of you that are, there's Northcott on the left. This is the end of the riprap. This is the diverter structure. This is all riprap throughout here. This area here is the area that's experiencing all the erosion that is taking place.
Okay. That's pretty narrow. So
yeah, it is. And to your point, is it another project? It will be a 408 permit that we will have to go because we are doing some construction. We could probably do it under an emergency with DNR because they understand, and I don't think they really want this to happen because the erosion is more detrimental to them than.
I mean, the 408 is not going to happen anytime quick. So,
since it was listed on the inspection report and identified clearly as a problem, they tend to take those a little bit. I would say, I'm not speaking for them, but there is a definite issue that needs to be addressed. It's not where it's, I'm just trying to clear some space or I want to clear out some, you know, trees. This is something that the levee safety has deemed as something that we probably should take a look at. Nothing critical. I will tell you that there was nothing critical in their eyes that said, look, you've got to stop everything and do it tomorrow. This is just something that over time, you will keep on seeing more and more erosion on the other side. So it's not like if I would leave today and go, well, I really feel that I'm nervous about the Schleicher subdivision. I'm not. But it's something that we need to address before it becomes too far.
It was a big problem.
Did it accelerate it? Any point that you can recall more so than any other period?
No, I mean, we've seen a little bit, but it was really truly because it's, believe it or not, it has been drier, even though the temperatures have been terrible. Usually you can't even see that. That's about a foot and a half lower than what we normally see that. So it can really be exposed. And when you do the Munster inspection, it's easier to see than when you're doing the Hammond inspection, because you're just looking across it as opposed to looking down on it.
And why is it considered construction where we need a 408 permit? Or
because you're altering the original plan of the project, like for better. We're like what we're going to talk about later with the redoing of some of the pumps and the gates in Highland. You're altering it, even though you're going to close off hopefully two gates, you're still altering the original design as to what they.
The capacity, the demand, but more sort of capacity, probably a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they don't want you to fill in anymore the area. They want to make sure that what you're doing is secure, making sure that it does cover what needs to be taken care of and protected, and not just throw a bunch of rock up there and hope it really works. So the way I envision it is just going to be the extension of that rock and hopefully, you know, kids stay away from throwing the rocks in the water because they tend to do that in that area. They like to fish off that pier. So we'll put it in a basket to cover it to try to encase it best we can.
Is there anything else that we need to do right there, as far as with the diverter and the bridge while we're sending the resources in?
Well, if you want, you could take out, but this would require a more intensive application process. You could take out this sediment in this area, and you could see it over here again through this bridge that is built up over time.
Before cottonwood grows out of it?
That could be a possibility. But as far as anything else, as far as projects, I mean, we could just continue, and just so that everyone knows, this is the stage 7 that we're talking about. This line. Matter of fact, those animal whirls are down in here. These the joints that are failing are in this area as well.
So I have another question about that. The joints. I mean, I don't know if you know 5, 2, 7, 8. It's all the same. I forget what we used to call the T-per, basically a water stop joint. Is it all the same throughout the system?
They're all the same specs.
Right.
But for some reason, these seem to have failed faster.
Right.
8 isn't as bad, but we may continue just to do 8 because if you remember from being on here for as long, they all were sort of completed at about the same time.
Right.
So if this one's going to fail.
But they were different contractors, weren't
they? They work at different
contractors. But it's, I mean, all you do is, it's not like it's a workmanship thing. Put them in the joint.
No argument for me there, boss. It's best any product.
This is a workmanship. The
same. It might be a workmanship.
Be
one, there was an application.
The same spec may not be the same as still. Okay.
Yeah.
Probably.
Series from Minnesota did stage 7 and Walsh did stage 8.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know that the two different contractors.
Right. Thank
you. So with that inspections, we're going to have a construction meeting dealing with the spring park tomorrow, which while we'll be able to give you a better understanding of timing, timeline, when they're going to start. Garrett was a successful contractor that was awarded that bid. So I know Dave wants to do some things over there with the administration and Gary. And I know USGS has a grant to do water quality testing at that as well. So there's a lot of people looking at that. Hopefully we can get that moving on spring park. The hard ditch stabilization, we will be on the May agenda for formal interlocal, but the Lake County Drainage Board has already put out that project for bid from, it's roughly 45th going back to the Twin Creek Boulevard, between Twin Creek and Park West. So that will be awarded in the May meeting for them. And then,
stay on that a second.
Yes,
Deanna, if it's on the agenda, does that mean there's still anticipation that that's going to be a construction project for this year?
It is going to be a construction project this year. They're actually putting out letters to the residents that is impacting so that they know what to expect or what to expect as far as contractors. The award will be in May. They will open the bids in May. They do it very similar to us. Awarded pending legal review and modification. And then so we would anticipate construction to be in June.
Understood. And that means that we have hard ditch worked on up until 45th.
Right, yeah, from 45th going south to almost Main Street. There are still places that we intend to fix along the way if there are emergencies or for the outfalls, which is what I've always have harped on, is the outfalls from the neighborhoods. Those outfalls have collapsed, moved. So when they don't hit a hard surface, they hit the side of the wall, and then you've got sump pumps from individual homeowners that have hit the sides of those things. Eventually, those deteriorate, and then those animals that we've all talked about, there is no hard armor for them to be protected. And when their burrows collapse and fill up, it just keeps on multiplying. So that's our plan, is to keep going to the north. We will ask again for the town to participate, and the county is participating via their engineering and permitting.
I have an additional question. They're doing a lot of work on Main Street now. So the improvement of the roads, I think, is going to the bridge, including the bridge that we replaced with the county a couple of years ago. My question is this particular project going to have an impact on any things you're talking about with regards to the stormwater into the hard ditch?
On that one on Main Street, no.
Hard waterway.
But I will tell you that I believe the town of Munster is doing work around the 45th Street and hard ditch area where they will beef up the areas surrounding it for stabilization purposes. So when I said we didn't quite get to 45th, I'm just giving 45th as a general rule of thumb. If they do that with their bridge replacement, that will help us in the long run not have to worry about that.
Thank you.
We talked about Griffith Levy briefly in the finances. We're still doing some acquisitions for real estate, and hopefully weather will harden up some of these grounds so we can do some of the deep river cleaning as well as the big Beaver Dam ditch area that we're partnering with the county. Other than that, like I said, we've got a pretty good agenda and if you had certain questions.
Okay.
And inspections were certainly the lead for this month.
And when's the rest of the system happen as far as inspections?
June. So we're going to get, well, the timeline will be, we're getting draft inspections. We'll be able to comment on the draft inspection for those three communities. We'll send back our comments. They'll finalize them. And then June, we'll take it from Klein Avenue all the way to I-65. That will include Griffith, Gary, and Indot. And then, and so that's a 5-day excursion.
Jim, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Repay about what's going on in the field? Moving right along. Mr. Karnak, can you do the introduction, please?
All right. Doing my computer skills.
Do you want a motion? No. We're going to do a presentation here for Wessler Engineering. Bill, are you here? Bill's here. I know Bill's here. We contracted with those folks from Wessler to do a study on Beaver Dam Ditch that will take into consideration Crown Point, St. John, some modeling that will help us make better decisions when communities such as Crown Point, St. John, even Winfield for that matter, come to add or need additional funds. This will be, and Bill will correct me if I'm wrong, the model of record, which we will be able to determine, hey, look, you're going to add this much water. What will be the impact downstream? So, I thought Lester had a motion in front of it. That's why I was pausing. I apologize. Getting old. So without further ado, Bill, if you want to go ahead.
Bill, please introduce yourself, state your name and address for the record. And just as a little backup for everybody, Beaver Dam Ditch is down in South County around Crown Point. Think of 65 from Crown Point all the way to St. John. Most of the water that is a part of all of that growth goes down this ditch. Yes, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, my name is Bill Lieber from Wessler Engineering. 3131 Babette Drive, Southport, Indiana. And yeah, I just want to give a progress update on our project for you. So a little bit about myself and Wessler, if you don't know us, again, my name is Bill Lieber. I'm the head of the stormwater group at Wessler Engineering and the vice president. I've been with Wessler for 23 years. Wessler, we're water resources engineers, primarily in Indiana. We also do some work in Ohio. We have an office over in Hobart, but that's all we do is water, drinking water, wastewater, stormwater. This evening, I want to just go over what the objective of our project is, what our schedule is. Share with you the progress we've made on the GIS interactive map and the hydraulic model that Dan alluded to. So what we're trying to do is gain a thorough understanding of the Beaver Dam Ditch watershed, both its hydrology, meaning the runoff in that watershed, where the water comes from, where it goes, and the ditch hydraulics. After studying that, we are preparing a hydrologic and hydraulic model. So again, modeling both the runoff and the hydraulics of the channel itself and its tributaries. Identify and prioritize areas of concern. These are both areas of concern that were given to us by shareholders, stakeholders. We've had communications and talks with Lake County, Crown Point, but then also areas of concern that that we uncover through our investigations and through our modeling. Then through the preparation of that model, we'll be able to analyze future improvements. Then we can summarize these findings in a report and present the commission with an interactive map that can help in decision-making and also just show the findings and summaries. the schedule, we started this process back in June. That's when the contract was signed. We kind of kickoff meetings with Dan and Anthony and went over the project goals and, you know, what the big priorities are. And as Dan said, it was stressed to us that the commission really needs to have a way to understand what projects are going to be the most beneficial to the watershed. You know, so as you're looking to fund, help you have some tools, namely this model, that will allow you to decide, you know, what is the best project, what makes the best impact on the watershed. In September, we had those meetings with the county, with Crown Point, and then we began our data collection. Crown Point, both the county and the city of Crown Point were very receptive and were able to give us some of their previous reports, mapping. We have locations of all the stormwater outfalls that go into the Beaver Dam ditch. And then we were collecting data from the state as well. DNR houses a number of models of Beaver Dam ditch and the tributaries. So we inventoried those models and looked at them for completeness. So then going through that, we were trying to find the holes, the missing areas, which portions of the ditch and the tributaries weren't previously modeled. And through that, we started our field investigations. Now, I was hoping to come today and say we were complete with field investigations. The weather's been a little bit uncooperative, so we still have some field investigation to do and some data collection. But we're completing that data collection and using it to complete a comprehensive model. So we take the data from all these different disparate flood models, project models, and we bring them together into one comprehensive model. We have started on the interactive map. I'm going to show you a little bit of that in a moment. But going forward, we should have the initial model done at the end of this month. Then we'll be spending next month, May, doing the calibration. And then through that calibration, in the beginning of June, looking at the areas of concern, and then I'll be back in June to make another presentation of our findings. Might have to change my share and I switch over to a web browser. Let's try to scan share screen.
I'm not good with tech still, so it's just a little bit of ball state.
All right, big fan of chirp.
Okay. So we're building this interactive map in ArcGIS Online, and we'll have this available to you afterwards. Again, we're taking data from different sources, including our own field investigations, and we're going to be able to populate this map. You'll have different layers that can be turned on and off if you need to see the flood zones.
Where the structures are.
Exactly. And not only where the structures are, but we'll be able to link pictures of the structures to it. We can link video. Actually, the county has provided us with some of the footage that they've already collected. See, you can click through on that and you'll be able to see, actual drone footage of the channel. So it's kind of a nice way to.
It looks like our ditch.
Almost.
Same canopy.
So, whether it's video images or results from the model. You know, we'll be able to color code portions of the channel if where there's erosion or flooding or, you know, high velocities, things like that.
Is there enough water there, Bill, for you to be able to get somebody on the water, like in a canoe? Or is this all just computer tech?
The modeling is all.
I understand computer, that.
But the data collection, I think, mostly going to be on the ground, on the shore, you know, alongside taking the pictures, taking the measurements.
But you're going to get like depths and kind of where the water is supposed to go. I mean, the community should have some of that. The premise in the whole thought process with this particular project was to get a cumulative or a holistic overview of that entire watershed. So as the new construction comes up, the impact would happen, because all the water that we're talking about, it'd be nice to see that, you know, aerial again. All that water, when it's done, you know, working through this particular part of the county, goes under I-65 and eventually ends up in downtown Hobart. So this is part of our overall goal of trying to connect all of these different portions of watershed, so one impact in one community doesn't have an adverse effect on other communities. So we have to have some understanding. You know, it's always been for me personally, what's and how much water is going in under I-65 at that one juncture. And all that's happening, you know, west of there is construction. And, you know, the old stuff isn't getting moved. So we're trying to get ahead of things that we're seeing in Hart Ditch, where the volume is so much now after all the development, you have sheer walls in people's backyards.
Right. And that's why it was really important to us to this comprehensive model is both hydrologic and hydraulic. What you've kind of seen in the past, and you know, if you're the DNR, the flood models, those are hydraulic models. Those are giving you flood stages based on a point in time and a certain flow.
Can you explain the difference between hydrologic and hydraulic for us mere mortals who aren't water resource engineers?
So we are also, so hydraulic is basically just looking at the channel capacity. And if it's basically at a set flow, what's the elevation, you know, in the channel? And then, and usually that's what used, you know, when there's construction, they say, well, hey, if we impact the channel and we work inside of the floodplain, you're making the cross, you're changing the cross section. So does that adjust the elevation? And that's very important. The difference between what we're doing is we're not just looking at the geometry of the section and not just the channel, but also the amount of runoff. So we can look at, you know, how does it look? We make no changes to the channel, but now there's a new subdivision. There's new parking lots. Or conversely, if we put in a detention pond, does that make things better? And that's what becomes really interesting, is especially when you have multiple ponds in multiple locations, sometimes they work against each other. Sometimes, you know, each development, you know, puts in their pond and it's like, hey, we're holding it back, but now they're all holding it back at the same time, and you end up with, you know, prolonged periods of increased flow. So that's kind of the difference. We're also looking at that flow component. So and how the flow changes with developments. So that's what we're working on right now. We've got the data, the cross sections, all the channel data from those HECRAS models, from those flood models. You know, adding to that with their own field investigation, doing error correction. You know, some of those models are old, and you know, things have changed since they were first put together. And then we're updating that physical data, and then again updating the hydrology. That's the big thing. Is, you know, there's been land use changes, so the amount of runoff is different.
Are you getting the support from the municipalities that are along the Beaver Dam ditch as far as, you know, information that you need from, you know, their departments?
Yeah, like I said, Crown Point and Lake County in particular have been very helpful.
Excellent.
So,
is that it?
So yeah, that's...
All right, any questions for Bill as it relates to what he's working on as far as getting this done? And tell me again when we're going to have the final and you're going to be able to tell us exactly kind of big picture, challenges, benefits, areas of concern.
I'll be back in June.
Outstanding.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
A couple, actually. One, just well, first of all, thank you for the work. Appreciate you guys, you and your team. So, random question, is anything surprising? Have you found anything surprising so far or unusual? Noteworthy?
No, and I really probably should have brought Robert up, my primary modeler. Might have some more interesting things, but it's a big challenge. It's really interesting. Just it's such a large watershed and it's in all these different tributaries. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If there's one thing or that pops out, but
okay, yeah. Fair enough. Second question is getting old too. What was the second question? So to Mr. Chairman's point, how do we use the data? How will we use the data? I mean, I think I get the concept. I know I get the concept. When you were clicking on the one page there, and I think it was returning slowly, but the floodplain areas, I guess, you know, X and A, the different flood zone areas were starting to populate. So this information will become the model of record such that City of Crown Point, Lake County, State of Indiana will have access to this information. And are they required to use this information when they're planning developments?
Well,
or is that
part the commission will be the owner of the model.
Okay.
Right? So I guess it'd be up to you to allow others to use it or to say, hey, you know, we want to check your project against our models.
Right.
So we can figure that out.
But I thought there was
it can definitely be available
to the state, right? Because I know when we started this project, you were saying we can go to the state, but to your point,
right.
You said some of those models
that
they...
We get the information from them. They are also working on a new flood model for the area. But again, that would be just that hydraulic.
Okay, model. Not hydraulic. Okay. No other questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Thank you very much. And next up, I'm going to change things up. Is anybody here from the City of Hobart? Could you all do a presentation with regards to the interlocal agreement that we have on Stinky Creek and Turkey Creek Lateral 6, the Version Regional Stormwater Watershed Project? Holy cow, do you start every meeting like that? With that whole name?
We try to.
state your name and address, sir, and please.
Phil Braylick, City Engineer of Hobart. Our address is 414 Main Street, Hobart, Indiana.
Thank you. Please tell us what you're recommending with regards to what we had already approved. I think there was 400 and some change as it relates to that job. So it's my understanding you're looking to have some modifications to what was originally discussed?
Right. We had applied a couple of years ago, I think, for what we had seen as our solution to the Stinky Creek problem, which was basically to enclose it in a pipe and alleviate the flooding within Hobart. We hired Avon Marsh and Christopher Burke to design that. And in the early preliminary phases, they came up with the idea of taking it to the north, which we then came back with and asked that the commission consider funding the design of both the Turkey Creek Lateral 6, which is the blue line on the handout, and the Stinky Creek line, which is the black line on the handout. And the commission said no to the Turkey Creek Lateral 6, but agreed to fund the engineering, partner with us for the interceptor sewer on the on Stinky Creek itself. Now, at that point, we didn't have an engineering contract to do that design, so we left that meeting and began negotiating with Avonmarsh, our consultant, to, you know, have the additional survey, the additional soil borings, design, etc. And they came back, and we've gone back and forth several times. We've changed city attorneys since this change, which changed our contract form. So it's a new form of agreement that's here now. But this would actually be the contract for the design of what we agreed at the last time I was here, that the commission would partner with us. And I think the number that you had previously was our design cost for a different project that we're not doing now.
Was there a different project in Hobart, sir, that was also related to Stinky Creek or had Stinky Creek in the wrong name? That was
yes. Okay. That was the original one back in, I think we came in 2018 and talked about it. And it did not leave the city of Hobart. It was basically enclosing Stinky Creek, which runs southwest to northeast and connects to Deep River near Highway 6, 37th Avenue. It was essentially a local project. But when Avonmarsh proposed this, it now goes through Lake Station and Munster and has regional significance. If you remember last time, this project now isn't just solving flooding problems in Hobart. It's actually going to reduce the travel time of the water so that this water, I didn't bring the numbers, but it cuts like 2 miles off the distance that it has to travel in the channel. So it gets out of here and into Lake Michigan before the Little Cal surge meets the Deep River surge is the intent here. So there's regional benefits and there are benefits to the Little Cal in doing this project rather than the one we had in 2018.
Hold on,
one at a time.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. So, are you finished with your presentation, sir? I mean, what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have a new lawyer at the town. They changed the paperwork. This is changing the paperwork because the new lawyer wants a different form?
Well, it looks different, but the fees that are here, you've never seen before because we literally just got these within the last 45 days worked out with Avonmarsh.
At least I can't speak for anybody else. Then what I was piece of paper I was looking for with the changes with the new contract and all the things was the original application and what was originally put together because, you know, we're older now and we have, you know, real jobs and kind of things happen. So kind of want me to get caught up as far as how things that you've been working on fit into what we talked about a couple of years ago. So is the application still the same that you submitted and was approved? Is that still the work this paperwork is asking?
Yes, for what I was here about 6 months ago, This is the same project, yes.
Okay. Thank you, go ahead, sir.
So you already have $440,000 for
it. Yeah, I am.
$450,000. You came and asked for a certain amount,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't approve that exact amount. We approved something
different.
Less than that.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I did not remember that there was a dollar amount set there because at that meeting, you know, we were asking for the design of both of these legs,
right.
And the commission said no. And my understanding was I was supposed to leave and negotiate that design contract with Avonmarsh and then come back. And that we would proceed from there. So that was what I did.
But to be clear, what you negotiated is based on your presentation from six months ago.
Yes.
So we are still talking about that same.
The exact same project.
The lateral six and the Stinky Creek. Yes. Because that we had robust discussions about. I even remember that.
Right. And we only were looking at doing a portion of the entire presentation.
Stinky Creek.
And now he's coming back for the entire work again, not just for what he asked for. I thought you mentioned that you went back and negotiated with Avonmarsh for both of them again.
No. This contract is just the design, the Stinky Creek portion, which is what the commission, I took away from the last meeting, was what the commission agreed to do. But we didn't have that fee because things changed. We didn't get what we asked for.
Okay.
Understood. So, I mean, we have to catch up with that and try to figure out. Go ahead, Mr. Gustad, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Are you proposing then that the new fee for just the Stinky Creek portion is $829,000?
Yes.
And your whole application for the previous two was only $983,000 total cost for both projects. Now you're telling me you want almost double what we've given already allocated.
You know, honestly, I'd have to go back and look at that application to refresh my memory of what was in there, because we did not have a fee to design both last time, because we weren't moving forward with it without the commission's, you know, cooperation. Our plan was to design a different project that would travel to the east.
So it sounds like maybe between you and Mr. Rique, we need to reconnect, because my memory is we specifically asked for numbers on both sections of it, which is how we came up with a number to allocate for.
That's how I understood it.
And then for next time, because since we're all going to catch up now and kind of get on the same page, is also look at the minutes from, you know, after that meeting to be able to make sure that we're all on the same page, just so we see again how this is fitting into it. Because I think, I can't speak for these gentlemen, but we thought it was already down the path. So now it's, we just got to catch up.
That's it.
Right.
Any other questions?
So did we ever have an existing interlocal agreement?
Yes.
Okay.
Not executed.
No.
Nope.
I believe it is.
We do, but not for this project.
We're gonna have to.
Okay.
Yeah. There was an application
that was done. I'm looking at it right now.
Application.
And you guys came here on 8/18 of 2021.
Okay.
And in that application, and it was prepared by your
by the consultant,
by the engineer.
Okay. Yes.
Said that the total construction was going to be $983,660, and at that time, you guys requested $786,000.
Oh, yeah, 80%.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And this commission approved $450,000.
Okay.
And now this engineer is coming back and.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and figure out where that number in the application came from.
They prepared the attachments. It's all in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we have a game plan?
Yep.
Dan?
Yep, I
can floor. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll get it figured out. All right, moving right along, another issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to open proposals on a new flood control closure structure for the Munster side of the Northcott Bridge and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by attorney, engineer, and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second,
Mr. Repe.
Oh, he's open.
Yeah. We had one company submit, Gary Construction out of Gary, Indiana.
Only one submittal?
Correct. One page.
Yeah.
$139,470.
I know they don't have to furnish the stuff, right?
That's correct. All they have to do is build it. So we'll take that to the engineer, who is SEH, have them review it, see if that coincides with what they believe the number should be, or if there's any misunderstandings.
Thank you. Did we have an engineer testimony?
Nothing official.
Okay. All right, moving right along.
Officially.
Not that.
Not that.
I guess we should have to vote on it, shouldn't we? Please. Right. Don't open it yet, Dan.
Tom Schlesinger.
Yes.
Tom Bezzecki.
Yes.
Hopefully it passes.
Anthony Brunner.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LeVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
No. Sorry. All right. Got to have that worth one. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a service agreement with United Consulting for the flood control gate well structure replacements and Wicker Park stormwater lift station project, in the amount of $196,600 pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Ipe.
So I'll start off with this, and then I have pictures that are better. This is the aerial view. Indianapolis Boulevard is on your right. This project is going to consist of two things, a little bit separate, but in the same area. One is to improve the gates in the area. As I told you in the inspection, that the gate that failed, that gate is right here. There's a truck stop over here. This is technically Highland. This gate is built basically at ground level, much different than all the other gates. You'll see what a typical gate looks like in this system in my pictures, but I want to give you some just overview, and then I'll go to the ground level view. This is the outfall that you'll see from the NDOT pump station that's located here, which will prove to be important later. This is a green pond that I get told about every summer when it turns green because there's no water flow. This pond was designed, I guess, to drain this parking lot and ultimately drain through this area here. The problem is there's not enough flow in this area to push the gate open. This is the plague. And those of you that have been around know that the secondary closure at this area, we have to go out on this plank and drop sandbags down to prevent water from backflowing in the event that it does, so it doesn't flood in this area. So that's another component. The second component is this gate, which is a typical gate. You'll see a better picture later, that is supposed to drain this little drainage stream, lack of a better word. Once again, not enough pressure to push this gate open. You can already start seeing the sediment filling in this channel here. Ultimately, all this water makes it anyways to the inlet of the NDOT station. So this contract will address those issues as well as address the issue with the pump that Wicker Park tends to put here to pump the water off the golf course during high flood rain events that it's designed to do. It's supposed to take the water, but during the times that we need the water off and we don't need the storage anymore, they pull off this old 1900 pump and it pumps it back into this ditch that, as we said, ultimately feeds into NDOT pump station. United did the pump station. They know the amount of capacity that's available. And so that's why we chose them. I'm going to get out and stop sharing and share. Sorry, Bill, I'm going to get to it.
No, I'm not.
Darn it.
Yeah, you're laughing. I get it. What do you got? This is Lambert. Can we send you a seminar to maybe assist in this type of endeavor, since this would have been a consistent thing? You know, I think we can do
that. I'm under a lot of pressure.
I know. And we can't expect you to do everything, inspections and all this, and do
screen sharing.
I couldn't do it.
So here's,
I'll just sit through here because you've already seen these.
So here are the gates that I spoke about. This is the gate that you saw, the aerial, that is the ground level, that one that failed this year. So they're gonna go ahead and extend this above ground so that you use the tripod. We are at ground level, or at above ground level, where we don't have to have people doing this type of work. And like I said, there's only two others that are consistent with this. That is the area that it drains. I apologize for my finger slightly being in the frame. I'll work on that in future. That's the truck stop. You are looking southwest from that location. This is the other gate that they're going to fix. This is the manhole that drains from Optimus Pond into the river. You are looking at the river. That is the manhole. The secondary closure for that, meaning if in the event the water starts coming from the river back into Optimus Pond, flooding the hotels and Cracker Barrel and everything else, our instructions are to lift that manhole and throw sand, as many sandbags down that chute as possible.
Say that again. That's what is an inspection manual. That's what we're supposed to do. Pop that off and drop sandbags down there until it stops?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, great.
So, and this
in the rain, by the way.
And this has backflowed in the past. As a matter of fact, in 08 it did, but we've made sure we've cleaned it properly. But if we're gonna address it, they're gonna build it above ground. That's the number one part. They're gonna fix the sluice gate. So those two sluice gates are gonna be designed under this contract. The second part is the draining component of it, which will correct a lot of issues in this part of the area. That's the pond that all water runs to on Wicker Park. That's off the sixth hole of Wicker. This is the service road around Wicker. To the left is the levee. Just to give you a perspective, you're looking east. You can see the pipe that they've embedded now into a man-made levee that they built so that they can connect it when the water gets high. And you can see in the distance, if you see right here, that's the other connection that they use to ultimately connect to this pipe. I know. This is one of those things that you address when you have time to figure it out. This is ultimately the outfall into the ditch that they use. There's a typical gate in that location. This is the gates that we are needing, but this is the outfall of the stream or the ditch that doesn't have enough pressure. You can already see the sediment along the side here building up.
And it goes with Greg Whitey's
there. Correct. And here's the landward side. You are looking dead south down the same ditch that Wicker Park puts the water into. But ultimately, all that water does not make it to us. It makes it to the pump station. And ultimately will make it to us. You can see on the far left here is where there's a sheet pile wall. It has now been overcome with some trees that actually prevents the water from the little pond to make it into this area. So because that sheet pile exists, you can see it better here in this area. Because that sheet pile exists and you can see it again over here, this pond can get to that ditch. So what the design called for was it to flow back into the river using gravity. And that's the plank. So the water, as we call it, the plank.
That's the worst thing ever, right?
Well, that's just what we have to call it. I don't know what else to call it.
That structure.
I thought it was a fishing pier.
You go to the end with sandbags and drop it in a hole like that, the game with the milk bottle.
So
the clothespin.
The chairman is correct. In the event that water starts backflowing into this area, we go to the end of this structure and drop sandbags to close off the flat gate from backflow. So this, you can start the music. This is the outfall of what I said is the in-dot pump station. This is what we ultimately want to do here, is take all that gravity force plank and the other one and channel all the water back to the in-dot pump station, which, as you see, has a good outfall. It's clear, although Frank Bonnies are still a little bit thinner, but it's hard armored all the way down. The station has plenty of capacity. We would need to put a fence around it so Bill doesn't go play around with this with the stem here, but other than that, it's a good outfall. And that's what ultimately this contract is to do, is to fix this area. So I'll go back to an aerial so that you can see once again. Oh God, I have to stop sharing again.
I have to figure out how many of those we've done over the years. This has got to be double figures.
Anyway, all right,
so this group,
I'm done playing around with my mouse here.
So the United Consulting, they did the in-dot pump station, because that was only about 5 or 10 years ago, they know about the capacity. My whole point is that if we do all of this, is that large enough? I'm sure it's over-engineered, but just to ask the question, is there enough capacity there?
There is enough capacity. And from what I was told was, the initial contract was going to take into account what we were going to do, but they sort of just ran out of time. That's my words, not theirs. and they didn't want to necessarily address it. Now, with our knowledge of how this thing works, how to correct it, we can take out two of those openings that potentially we don't have to drop sandbags down or anything else, and we move everything to a pump station, which already has an existing thing. Highland manages that pump station for NDOT. NDOT pays Highland to manage that pump station, so we know what kind of working condition it is in.
All right, and this is just engineering, correct?
That is correct.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion or any other questions for Mr. Repay about what's happening? Mr. Broadnax.
Just one. Maybe I don't understand fully. I was a little bit confused. At the beginning, it sounded like we were going to fix the two, gate well structures. And it looked like they were coming from the old coach bus station parking lot going into the Little Cow. And then at the very end, it sounded like we were pushing the water back south towards the NDOT pump on the south side of that park.
What we're going to do is we're going to get rid of the two existing, the plank. We're going to get rid of the plank, hopefully. And we're going to get rid of the other one that's just immediately to the west of that. Those hopefully will be eliminated because there's not enough pressure for the water from landside to push it out to Riverside. So it stays there, it's stagnant, and in some cases it just goes back to the NDOT station anyways. So we just need to figure out how to get the pond sort of
to go there faster.
To go there, to get out of there. The second part is fixing the sluice gates from changing the one from being on the ground, as you saw that gentleman, public works person, and move it up to an enclosed area. And the second one is removing that aspect of the secondary closure being throwing sandbags down a well and actually make it a gate that we have all the equipment to do, but doing it that way, because once you do it, say you have some backflow, you're throwing all those sandbags, well, guess what? You got to get a little sandbags out eventually. So it becomes a little bit of a mess. And no, we've never practiced it, but I can figure we can probably put a couple dozen sandbags out there.
Right. Yes, sir.
Could you do me a favor and put a timeline into this so that we know when we can expect certain milestones
to be changed? On the agreement? Yes, sir. Sure.
So we're not sitting here in a year waiting for the report, what they're going to do.
I will do that. Our attorney will have too.
Anybody else? Once, twice, got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Congressman P.
Yes.
Tom Nesbecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Abstain.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Casamas.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Next up, real estate crediting update from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Mr. Repay?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I know you guys ask me often about the real estate and but when you get the piece of paper, when we can close this project out. I don't think I can do it any more justice. So I invited the folks from the Army Corps, and I think Mike's here from the real estate. Don't know if anyone else snuck in behind me, but maybe they can give you an idea and a timeline as to when this is all going to conclude, so that you can get the piece of paper that we've finished and we're complete with this project.
Outstanding. Yes, sir. State your name and address for the record, please. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see everyone. My name is Michael Rohde. I work for I'm the Chief of Real Estate with the Army Corps of Engineers Chicago District. Our office, I guess, is 231 South LaSalle, downtown Chicago. And thanks for inviting me, Dan. We have obviously been working on this project for many years. Little Cal has the commission as our sponsor, has acquired well over 1,000 tracts of land. And then our process in approving what we call LURD credits, the credits for the real estate, in excess of $17 million to date. For the last couple of years, we've been working with Dan on the final, what we track as the final 68 parcels. Really excited with the commission's progress in completing 60 of those tracks and submitting claims for real estate credit to us for all 60 of them. To date, as of today, our office has approved 21 of those final claims for credit. Generally, those are the more easily approvable claims. In reviewing the outstanding claims, the ones that are not completed generally fall into a couple different categories, either ones that were tax sales that need some additional review of title, and then ones that have a small deviation from the appraised value versus the claimed credit amount or the final negotiated value, and just making sure we finish all of our paperwork and review of those. And so we have a staff working on that, you know, approximately, you know, the rate at which they're completing those reviews, you know, over the next several months, you know, I would expect to be in 5 to 10 per month, pending any need for more information from the commission. So, and Dan, I don't know if we want to get into any of the specifics on the particulars of any of the tracks. One of the tracks that we are reviewing is the Griffith Golf Course, Griffith Golf Center. We call it, we refer to DC 836. That is a claim for LURD credit, land credit, that we've been reviewing. We have an appraised value for that flowage easement on that parcel in the amount of $100,000. You know, the negotiated flowage easement with the town of Griffith was for a higher amount than that. Our process is to review each, you know, we have a three-part test for each parcel. It's got to be, you know, fair and reasonable, allowable, and an allocable project. You know, our fair and reasonable test basically means that each track needs to be supported by a fair market value appraisal or some justification for deviating slightly from that fair market value. So that is one that we've worked through differences of appraised values with the commission in the past. At this point, for that particular parcel, you know, we are in a position to approve the $100,000 for that tract. It's also the commission, through the local cooperation agreement, has the right to submit, if you choose to do so, submit an additional appraisal on that tract. However, we went through some additional analysis with our internal Corps of Engineers appraiser to validate that submittal, and we feel have some level of confidence in it.
You know, excuse me, Mike, but that's one of how many now, like, that are still outstanding? 60? So we're doing 5 to 10 a month?
They're not averaging 5 to 10 a month based on what I see here.
I'm looking at a spreadsheet.
One at a time. Oh, I'm sorry. But I mean, I'm looking here that in February 24th, 2021, we had applied, we gave you 41 packages to review. Mm-hmm. Since that time, you've approved 12. That's like one a month at best. So with 40 some to go, I guess we'll be here in 4 or 5 more years.
So as I said, we approved the ones that are relatively simple. We have a staff member who is assigned to this project, who previously worked on this project, who's retired. He, you know, is a deep amount of knowledge. We took some time to get him on board and up to speed working on this project. And certainly some of the delays, we've had some, you know, turnovers at our management levels. The approval process for approving these packages is what we call a warranted action. It's like a contracting officer warrant. That's something that's delegated to me. There was a period of time there where I didn't have that delegation, whereas those packages would have been sent to higher headquarters, potentially been delayed further, or potentially been under a higher level of scrutiny in that case. So, you know, those, you know, certainly are committed to finishing the LURD credit reviews of all of these. What we do every month with the project manager is we work worked through the, well, the cost share record. We have a placeholder amount for our good faith estimate. And then as we credit these, we balance out the cost share, ultimately leading to kind of the full approval of all the acquisitions and projects.
So forgive the interruption if there wasn't an interruption. I think you just said that you now have the authority to approve with this delegation. Is that correct?
I have the authority to approve, yes. All
up to a certain amount?
Yeah, up to $75,000, which almost all the tracks fall under that. There's a few that will fall outside.
Just a couple, it looks like. Yeah. So then, is there when you talked about the warranted action, is that on a sliding scale such that if the value is, you know, as most of these are, under $10,000, the warranted action can be facilitated more quickly, for lack of a better phrase? I mean, how long does it take to review a $10,000 piece of property?
So it doesn't take very long. So the items that I believe that we're working with commission on are generally instances where there is deviations between the appraised value and the final amount. And that's something that we can come to a decision on as to whether or not we recommend the claim for just the appraised amount and forego the few thousand dollars if there was a deviation, or we can back up in the file, get some additional documentation for that deviation.
Well, and what drives a deviation? Why would there be a deviation in the amount that we're requesting for credit and the appraised amount?
So generally the process for the federal acquisition is you would make an offer based on the fair market value appraisal. You may negotiate with the owner. In that period of negotiation, you may have come to an agreement on a higher amount
or a
lower amount. And generally, within a range, that if that is the justification that is based on offering a higher amount because we want to avoid a condemnation action, we want to avoid, you know, continuing to go back and forth with a property owner, we can deviate it. I think each one of these, there are different categories for many of these parcels. Some fall under that category, some may not. So part of it is kind of just making sure that we have the auditable.
Does the core system have a sort of a, for lack of a better phrase, override, such that it's not just a percentage, but also maybe a minimum dollar value? So for example, I get it, $3,600, $7,500. It's 100% difference, but it's $4,000.
I think there is a within reason under $25,000 for most.
And I'm guessing these have been discussed at length.
Hey, but there's a couple scenarios where one was appraised at $6,000 for surplus management, and we gave the person, or they wanted $1,900, so we got to provide extra documentation for that. But just so to call your attention to the city of Hammond, town of Munster, anything Hammond Sanitary District, those are all donated. The value was the value, and they donated it. They required nothing else further from us. We didn't give them any money. The value was what the appraiser valued it at. So
is that the value estimate column to the left of the page?
What we asked for, correct.
The credit requested. Based on appraised value.
Appraised value, title work that we did, we have to put the attorney's fees, anything else associated with that. So there are instances where that occurs. The most glaring ones in this sheet are probably two that I can think of off the top of my head. Griffith, certainly, and then the Gary Parks one, which is located off of Martin Luther King, which is a farm field that they requested, they required more before they would sign over. I'm not here to discuss the word or arbitrate that at this point, but for the most part, all of them are within a couple percentage points or a couple thousand dollars of what was requested.
So if the Corps actually finished 10 per month, let's say 12 per month, 10 per month, even numbers, 10 per month, 6 months, we should be done.
So a large tranche of those are pump stations, and as Dan said, a lot of those were donated. And, I received the recommendation from my staff And we're working on now the documentation to document that those were actually, we know they were donated, but we just need to build the file for those donations for the credit requests.
So, yeah, we understand. I mean, there's a process. I mean, it is the federal government. We get that, but we're really at the point where we're talking about outcomes.
Based on
budget in a month, 6 months, we should be done. I mean, my personal request would be that you would come back every month and give us an update on where we are on 5 to 10 a month, expecting 10 minimum.
I think we should be simple. We could get 10 with the pump stations if we can get the additional documentation we can get from Hammond to build a file. And I forget some of the other communities that have pump stations. I think those are all the next ones beyond the ones that we've done that are kind of the easy ones. So.
Well, no, there's no pump stations. Based on what I'm looking at here, I got 22 parcels under $5,000. How hard is that?
Not a pump station.
Not a pump station. Based on this document. And then I've got another 16 parcels.
Many of those were
under $10,000.
Many of those were tax sales. So the tax sales themselves require additional scrutiny on the title. And we want to make sure that the commission has sufficient title that we can, you know, confidently give credit to that property, that title is going to be protected in perpetuity for the project. And so that's mainly what the additional work is on most of those tax sales.
But I mean, according to this spreadsheet, you've had this documentation since 2/24 of 21. That's 12 months. I mean, I could buy a house and close on a house in less than 30 days.
After the government, you are. Anthony?
Even have that, okay, FHA loan, 60 days.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think we have the project manager on the call. We have somebody who helps set the priorities of our district and our, I hear you and I understand you, and we all want to close this project out very quickly. We have limited resources, as everybody does right now. And that's not an excuse.
Would a different strategy have been to employ instead of doing the more complex ones first, like you said you did, probably to have done the best complex ones
first? I thought you said you did the easy ones first.
Yeah.
Nevada.
Oh, well, okay.
I think Ahmad was on. I don't see him on our screen.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw Ahmad under the bus there.
No, I mean, he was on.
He was on the call. Probably to be so used to that.
All right, any other questions for this young man as it relates to the process of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers?
Short story is, what is it going to take? I mean, you just said 3 or 4 times you need additional information.
Yes.
From Executive Director Repay.
I think most of these can be approved. And so, right, so we're compiling. We don't want to just, reject the package that's sent back. We want to have a constructive, relationship and making it as easy as possible to make these as easily approvable as possible, which is our goal. And so we want to find the least amount of paperwork that we need to add to these packages to make them approvable. And some of them are the additional paperwork for donations, which we'll work with staff on, and then some of it is some additional discussion, maybe some additional paperwork with respect to the tax sales and the title taxes.
Is that doable, Dan? What more information have we not provided? And just to be clear, you are the final approver, right? As you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I'm the approver for everything up to
$75,000. Good. So under 75%, right?
Which is 95%.
Most
of the other 75%. So here's where some of the confusion comes in, and it's small, but yeah. Under the last group of approval, they did have some pump stations that were, or properties that were donated by a municipality that didn't require letters of saying they donated. Now they're requiring that. I've known Mike for a long time. I like Mike, but at a point it's frustrating. Just tell us what we need, and we want to do it. We want to be done as much as he wants to be done.
I'm sure.
So if it requires an additional letter from
Hammond Sanitary, we'll go to Hammond Sanitary and get it. We have a relationship with them. What I fear, though, are some of the people that we don't necessarily have a good relationship, because remember, these are the parcels that no one wanted to pick up or could get for 20 plus years.
Oh, like the Andy Young types?
I wasn't going to mention names, but if you do.
I know, on the list.
But so now I've written him a check already. And so how willing is that person going to come? I don't have that relationship with him or anybody similar to that, for him to come back and send me a letter, go, well, I wouldn't accept 6,000, but I'd accept 7,900. He doesn't, that check is long gone and passed. And we didn't know that we needed this. We wouldn't have given him the check until we had everything. And now that's going to be complicated. And that's what I'm saying. And quite honestly, my personal opinion is, and I've told this to Vic, who used to work on this project for 20 plus years, is just approve whatever you need to approve at the level that you need to approve it at to get this thing moving. Because the more
additional requirements,
then they're billing against the project, which becomes now, look, we all work.
I get it.
Yeah. I'll just try to be as straightforward in that.
So Mike, how can you help us?
I think just what Dan said, I mean, we want to make this as not as complicated as possible. And I mean, if there are areas where we're just making a $2,000 adjustment for one of these and it becomes approvable at that point, based on the appraised value, I mean, those are some easy wins that I think we could knock off, pretty quickly.
I would love to talk to you after the meeting. My last point is that, that these be grandfathered into whatever the existing requirements are. That if you get new requirements after that, that these actually be included in grandfathered.
Everyone has done a great job. There were a lot of these that were done in the late 90s, early 2000s, up to 2009. A lot of people have worked on this over the years. A lot of the prior crediting packages, we did have some of this documentation in it. And so part of it is, we want to be a little bit consistent with what we approved in the past.
Sure.
But we definitely just want to keep things moving forward. So
yeah,
we did have that discussion recently this week. It's, back to, how did we do things? Something in 2009, so.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible, like has been asked here by the other commissioners, to get a monthly report? What are your action items for that month? What are the 5 or 10 items that you're working on that month, and what have you cleared out on a monthly basis?
Yeah, we'll provide an update spreadsheet with some bullet points for prior to whenever you need the agenda.
So we can see the action or inaction on those items, is my point.
Okay.
I've been working on this project for 12 years,
this is the finish line.
Yeah, we're very close.
I mean, there's a lot of easy ones on this page that can just boom, done. And maybe we think, okay, let's put this bucket over here. This is the easy bucket. Let's tackle those and wipe out off the sheet. And then hit hard on the ones that are going to be working.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Remember, you're helping us make sure that doesn't happen again. All right. Well, thank you. All right, moving right along. My favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address. Let's go. Yes, sir.
Real quick, Craig Zanchin, Lake County Parks, 8411 East Lincoln Highway, Crown Point. Wanted to give you an update real quick on our Little Calumet Conservation Collaborative for the last several months. Audubon got permission recently to hire contractors, start hosting volunteer stewardship days at Hatcher Park from the Gary Park Board. So we're looking forward to that. Also continuing work on a management plan for MLK South. Also, once completed, we'll be doing a management plan for the Highland Heron Rookery and also the Chase Street Wetlands. That'll be critical for our crew doing work out there and outlining work that can be done, and also monthly projects that'll be going on throughout the year. So that'll help us out a lot. Also, Audubon Great Lakes, their habitat restoration internship program begins at the end of May. We'll be looking for opportunities with our Lake County Parks crew, and then also into training and enrichment opportunities and hopefully getting an additional bodies out there as well to do more work. Also, the Gary Park Board gave us approval recently for the water control structure at MLK South. They'll need a complete letter of support, and the board will sign off on a U.S. Army Corps permit for that project. So looking forward to that. Also, Wetlands Initiative is going to be pulling together an RFP for the water control structure installation at MLK South as well. Also, we have an agreement with the TNC at the Highland Heron Rookery to install the water control structure there. TNC is reviewing that now. So that'll be the second water control structure that will be installed. Also, a Wetlands Initiative and myself, we're going to meet with Steve Barker on Friday. Steve works for NIPSCO. We're going to be discussing restoration work on NIPSCO right-of-ways within the flood levees and inside the marsh areas that we're doing work on. NIPSCO owns, you know, quite a bit of real estate through there, so us doing the work in the areas we have been is great, but, you know, trying to tackle some of the invasives on the NIPSCO property will help so that doesn't spread into areas that we've already had success in, and then continue the positive work.
When's that meeting?
Friday morning. We're going to meet, I think, at 9:30.
How long are you meeting with them?
Well, this is going to be the first meeting with NIPSCO, but it's a positive step because we've got agreement with NIPSCO, at least Wetlands Initiative does, to begin work, some large-scale work, contractor work on some of their property, and then Lake County Parks right now is in the process of getting a permit with NIPSCO for our crew to also do work on NIPSCO property. So
the Wetland Initiative agreement with NIPSCO isn't on Little Cal property, though.
It is, yeah, it as is. Well. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because as we had the last conversation, thanks for coming in on this. And if you could let us know when you're going to come in so you can go on the agenda, that would be outstanding. So we're prepared for you coming in for the update. That would be very helpful.
Sounds good.
And, you know, because as we talked before, if you're going to work with NIPSCO, we might have other projects or other areas that doesn't involve Lake County Parks that NIPSCO should be aware of so we can be a little more efficient as a community to try to work together to fix some of these problems so that doesn't happen again.
Sure, you bet. We can do that.
Thank you.
All right. And then also, Wetlands Initiative will be meeting with our contractor, RES, to discuss Phragmites mowing at Highland Heron Rookery and also the Grand Street Marsh. That'll be happening fairly soon. And then also, as far as Lake County Parks crew goes, we've been working a lot this winter at MLK South, doing some work in that southeast forest and wetland unit, the corner that's forest and wetland, and the work being done there. We cleared a path from the levee to areas in that within the marsh, so contractors and also the parks crew can continue to do restoration work and tackle some of that Phragmites removal and other invasives. Also, they did some work still throughout the winter at the Highland Heron Rookery, kind of wrapping up some of the winter removals there throughout the winter and also at Lake Etta. Now, of course, the crew is going to be switching over from winter work to summer work, and that'll entail, you know, the herbaceous treatments of all the species that we've talked about over the last couple of years. So that's going to really continue and start in earnest now that the growing season started. And last, we got a NIPSCO Environmental Challenge Fund grant. We just found out today that was awarded to us, and those funds will be used for our crew for additional equipment and also some more training as well. So that will help us out in the coming months and years.
What's the value of the grant?
It was $5,000.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I got for you.
Thanks. Any questions for this gentleman? I had one. Are we still staffed with the regular folks for the Phragmites works that you had designated for the Little Cal project?
Yeah, we've got a
crew. Are they consistent from last year?
Yeah, we've got a crew leader, Emily. She's been on board for over a year now, and she's got two staff members. We just pulled a new one on board, so we've got a three-person crew doing work. So that's what we want. Eventually, we hope to get a little bit bigger, but for now, that three-person crew can...
we like small, for the personnel component.
Yeah.
So you got two people that work for this?
Yep.
All right, that's the model.
That's where we're at.
So get stuff done.
Yep.
Yes, there.
Craig, thank you for coming tonight. You said the Wetlands Initiative is working with RES, a consultant, concerning the mowing of dead standing Phragmites that have been previously sprayed. I just want to bring to your point, some of this work was brought to us by Audubon Society because of secret marsh burns. And so I would suggest coordinating with them, because if you're mowing during the nesting season, that is going to be a conflict of interest.
Okay.
So just you may want to reach out to Wetlands Initiative to let them know that there's two things going on. One, secretive marsh birds nesting.
Yep.
And then the other is you mowing where they potentially could be nesting.
Yeah, I'll make sure we're coordinating between the two. So that's critical. Since Audubon is doing monitoring of those species throughout the year. So
thank you, Greg.
Yep.
Anybody else? Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Moving right along.
Pick one. First, we'll go with Terry. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
State your name and address, please, sir. And this gentleman is on Zoom.
Terry Stiegel, 8577 Kleiman Road, Island, Indiana. Yeah, I would just like to, I sent you folks a email thinking we need to rethink the RFP for the 64 acres over there on Grant Street and 35th. I think that's property that we probably don't want to put more blacktop and concrete on, especially not knowing where the future is taking us. And we need to have the availability of that to do the whatever it takes for water prevention issues with that property would be the best. So I would really appreciate if you would rethink that. And maybe withdraw that proposal altogether. We have the Maya project over there, which I think was a bad project to approve. It hasn't gone anywhere yet, but it would kind of be nice to see that go away also. And you guys do a lot of good work on the river as far as trying to keep the flow of water going there and the habitat restoration and everything like that. And I think we got to stay geared in that direction, especially not knowing what the future brings as far as what we're going to need to protect the watershed and the homes in the area and look at more creative ways to maybe create some secondary retention in these other communities to limit that flow a little more to Little Cal even. And hopefully now that that EPA consent decree of $185 million has been agreed to with Griffith, Highland, and Hammond, that's going to help clean the water up a little bit over there. So let's keep things going in the right direction for what we need to have for the future would be my request. And hopefully, like I said, you could withdraw that proposal for that RFP for that land in Gary there. Thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you. Next.
All right, next we have Stephen Bundy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear us? Go ahead, Stephen.
Good evening. This is Stephen Gunty. I'm a Public Works Director, Town of Munster. Is my volume coming through okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to, on behalf of the town, on behalf of Town Manager Dustin Anderson, and on behalf of the Public Works Department, express our sincere appreciation for the funding of this Northcott Bridge flood control structure, this new gate system. And it's going to decrease our response time by easily 50%. And on top of this, too, I really would like you to know how much we commend and would like you to commend Mr. Dan Repay for his tremendous resolve over these, I think, 3 years of this project, getting this thing off the ground, working with the company who has built the structure, as well as with our engineer, Jill DiTomaso, in helping it get designed properly, and now with the final stage of it being installed. And he's worked quite well with our Public Works Department as well. So again, just thank you, and know that this will be an amazing improvement, and we thank you for funding it.
Thank you, sir. All right, anybody else? Once, twice. Closing statements to the floor. Next meeting, we're in May. We're okay with all the rain coming down, right? Next one, May 3rd, Wednesday. It looks like the 18th. Check the website as it relates to things that are going on, locations, whatnot. A lot of cool stuff out there. Check out the videos of some of the projects that have been done there. They're cool if you like that. That being said,
Next up, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. No, let's talk about stuff. Ron, you got something to say?
No, not at this time, sir.
Mr. Whitaker.
Just welcome back, everyone who's been gone for a while. Good to see folks back. Glad to get some updates from the U.S. Army Corps regarding our real estate situation. And kudos definitely to the staff here at Little Cal and at Jody and Dave as well. Last but not least, there are a lot of projects, it seems as if we have going on for the year. So just ask everyone to be cognizant and very safe as we continue to go forward. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Wyszlinski.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Gazdecki.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming. I appreciate all the presentations, the comments from the guests on Zoom. And I hope everyone had a great, safe holiday, no matter what faith you believe or believe in. And enjoy a great summer.
Thank you, Mr. Broadnex.
Thanks, everyone, for coming out. Mike, especially appreciate you being here. Thanks for representing the Corps, especially right now. Good to be back in the U.S. for a little bit.
Nice to have you back. Mr. Nimitz.
I have nothing to add.
Mr. Castellanos.
As usual, I have a few comments just to make. I'd like to state that on a recent program we had last Monday, we had Linda Codwell, who is the second district, fifth district representative from the city of Gary, and also the Chamber of Commerce, Chuck Hughes, who entertained us with on the show about the project they were going to do on the Chase Street Spring. And the good thing about it is that they lived in small farms area, and they had fond memories of going to the spring with their parents and other people, going in to get water from the spring that we're going to be building. So that was a good cause, and they really appreciated it. And we had a lot of people who called in also who said that they also used to go there and get their water. And I'm looking forward to it once the project is completed. That's it. Thank you and have a great day.
All right, Mr. Wicklin, are we
coming in?
All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. This is any discussion, either none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom
Schumke.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick?
Yes.
Derek
Minnis? Yes.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Ron Weir?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Happy spring.